Radio Prague News. Students in Belarus who are thrown out of their universities could be allowed to continue their studies in the Czech Republic. The opposition right-of-center Civic Democrats have strongly criticized Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek for failing to defend Czech interests at the EU summit in Brussels. And former Czech president and human rights advocate Václav Havel has spoken out against the United States' strict visa policy towards the Czech Republic. Students in Belarus who are thrown out of their universities for taking part in demonstrations against their president Alexander Lukashenko could be allowed to continue their studies in the Czech Republic. The Czech government is to discuss this possibility at its session on Wednesday. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek also plans to discuss the study stays with Education Minister Petra Buzková. Massive protest demonstrations are being held in the Belarusian capital Minsk after Mr. Lukashenko gained another term in a presidential election last weekend, which is widely believed to have been rigged. The opposition right-of-center Civic Democrats have strongly criticized Social Democrat Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek for failing to defend Czech interests at the EU summit in Brussels on Friday. The Czech Republic has backed down from its earlier demand for a stronger directive on the liberalization of trade and services. The move was criticized at the Civic Democrats Executive Council meeting in Karlovy Vary. The rival Social Democrats were also scorned for the large number of corruption scandals around the party, a lost arbitration case that could cost the state billions of crowns, and unrest in the health sector. Former Czech president and human rights advocate Václav Havel has spoken out against the United States' strict visa policy towards the Czech Republic. Mr. Havel said the USA was being pedantic and to some extent absurd. Millions of Mexicans crossed the border with bags of cocaine and heroin, but the authorities are worried about the Czech students staying too long, Mr. Havel told the CTK news agency. The Czech government will not interfere in a decision to keep the remains of German World War II soldiers stored in a factory in the northern town of Ústí nad Labem, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said on Saturday. The bodies of the Wehrmacht soldiers were exhumed from various graves around the country to be buried at a special cemetery in Prague. The organizers of the project ran out of money and the remains were stored at the factory instead, where they've been for the last 3 years. And a replica of a medieval crane that used to be powered by men running inside two large wheels is to be erected at Prague Castle. The crane will be part of an accompanying program to the Charles IV exhibition that is currently underway. It'll be constructed according to images from the famous Wenceslas Bible and similar cranes preserved in the Czech Republic and abroad. I'm Dita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Coming up later in today's show, Jan Wellinger is in conversation with Ewan McLaren, a Canadian actor and director living and working here in Prague. And there'll also be another chance to brush up on those Czech language skills in ABC of Czech. But first, do you know that the Czechs are acquiring a taste for snails? Well, to see if frogs' legs are next on the menu, here's Daniela Lazarová with Magazine.
It took Czechs a while to catch on, but snail delicacies are now gaining increasing popularity in this country. Snail kidneys, snail caviar, snail pâté, snail soup and frozen snails are now available on the market, produced by the Czech firm Snailex, which makes 4 tons of snail products every year. Snailex has one snail farm of its own and cooperates with around 20 snail farmers in Moravia. We could do with double that amount of deliveries, a Snailex representative said recently. Although snails are also imported from France, Czech snails come at half the price, and Snailex is the only firm in the world specializing in snail kidneys. So if you're here in the Czech Republic and have an available patch of grass, think about what the future could bring. Thank you. What would be the most you would offer to bribe a traffic policeman with? One very drunk guy caught driving through Havířov the other night attempted to bribe the traffic police with a brand new car and 50,000 crowns thrown in for good measure. The traffic police drove him to the local drunk tank to sober up and charged him with drinking and driving and attempting to bribe a police officer. The 29-year-old driver had been banned from driving a car for 5 years in 2002. The St. Patrick's Day celebrations in Prague are now a well-established tradition, and many Czechs like to join in the fun. In fact, it was the Czechs who won the annual Czech-Irish tournament this year, made up of five disciplines. The Czechs won the tug-of-war, hand wrestling and beer drinking. The Irish were better in the knowledge contest and at darts. At the end of the tournament, we all go and get plastered together, one of the contestants said. The Czech Republic has just become the first post-communist state to legalize gay marriage, but its opponents say MPs overlooked an important detail. The law does not specifically state that it is illegal to enter into more than one partnership simultaneously. The law may thus have to be amended in the near future, but already some couples are planning to tie the knot. Czech singer Pavel Vítek and his live-in partner Janis Sidovský have become the first to publicly announce their decision. They want a quiet ceremony at Karlštejn Castle. But knowing the press, this wedding is not likely to be either small or quiet. The inhabitants of Česká Lípa have one advantage over the rest of us. If they get tired of winter, they can visit spring, summer or autumn, which are all within walking distance of each other. It's not quite clear whose idea it was to name four of the town's streets after the four seasons, but the locals are happy to have them there. And unlike this particular winter, Winter Street is very short indeed, so you're in and out of it before you know it. If you like wacky exhibitions, then the one in Mladá Boleslav might be to your taste. The local museum exhibits curious artifacts uncovered in people's cellars, attics and sheds, and you'd be surprised what some of them contain. Among the things exhibited are a gas mask for a horse, a mummified cat, which was used to keep evil spirits away and might keep some present-day visitors away as well, a mobile toilet used by the nobility during the days of horse travel, and a home do-it-yourself kit for making tooth fillings, presumably when your dentist was not available. Try checking out your own attic one day. You might be in for a surprise. Czechs love improvising and inventing things, as the people at the patent office could tell you. In the course of last year, the office patented over 3,500 inventions, 500 of them from Czechs, the rest from foreign firms established in the Czech Republic or exporting their goods here. Every patent office has its share of crazy ideas, and the one in Prague is no exception. Among them are a magic dart that always flies straight to target, a dog poo collector and a plan for stone electricity production. Well, maybe one day. The Prague Zoo planned a big birthday bash this week for Cilka, reputed to be the oldest Przewalski horse in the world. In the wild, these horses live for approximately 20 years. Cilka celebrated her 34th birthday this week, which in human years is well over 100, with a special vegetable cake, Congratulations from the zoo's director and a big bouquet made of cabbage, broccoli and carrots. The Przewalski horse, at home on the plains of Mongolia, resembles a pony with stocky short legs, a massive head and powerful jaws. It's able to detect smell and sound from great distances and has eyes set so far back in the skull that it's able to view a wide field with the only blind spot directly behind its head. Well, it's usually extremely friendly, but if you should happen to displease one, remember, there's only one place to hide.
Magazine was presented as ever by Daniela Lazarova. There'll be another one coming along same time next week. Anyway, moving on, time for ABC of Czech, and this week it's presented by Pavla Horáková.
Šel zahradník do zahrady s motykou, vykopal tam rozmarínu velikou, velikou. Nebyla to rozmarína, byl to křen, vyhoď ty ho zahradníčku oknem ven, oknem ven.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's special Czech language series focusing on idioms about wild growing plants. We've already done trees and their parts, and today we won't go far from that topic. We'll be looking at the words wood and forest in Czech phrases and idioms. The Czech word for wood or timber is
dřevo.
In metaphorical use, it also means a clumsy person. One can also sleep like a piece of wood.
Spát jako dřevo.
People can be stupid like wood.
Hloupí jako dřevo.
Or deaf like wood.
Hluchý jako dřevo.
Although Czechs more often say
hluchý jako poleno.
As deaf as a log or
hluchý jako pařez.
As deaf as a tree stump. The expression
sladký dřevo
or sweet wood is a poetic name for a guitar. The short Czech word
les
means a forest.
Nosit dříví do lesa
is to carry wood to the forest, or, to use an English idiom, to carry coals to Newcastle. If a child is growing up without enough supervision, if he or she is allowed to run wild, Czechs say
roste jako dříví v lese.
He or she is growing up like timber in the forest. About people who can bear a lot, who let people behave badly to them and do not protest, Czechs say
nechá na sobě dříví štípat.
He lets others to chop wood on him, or he lets people walk all over him. The next expression has a similar meaning to the English phrase you can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. It goes
když se kácí les, lítají třísky.
And the literal translation is when a forest is being cut down, splinters fall, meaning there are unpleasant side effects to important things. Another idiom
pro stromy nevidět les
means not to see the wood for the trees. The meaning is the same in both Czech and English. To be so involved in the details and not realize the real purpose or importance of the things as a whole. And finally, one moralizing phrase.
Jak se do lesa volá, tak se z lesa ozývá.
The way you shout at the forest, the way the sound comes back. The closest English idioms would be you get as much as you give, or what goes around comes around. And with that, we shall leave you today, but you can tune in again next week for more Czech idioms about wild plants. Until then,
nashledanou.
Pavla Horáková there with the able assistance of Vladimír Tax for this week's ABC of Czech. Now, in one-on-one, our interview programme here on Radio Prague, Jan Wenninger is in conversation with Ewan McLaren, a Canadian actor and director living and working here in the Czech Republic.
Hello and welcome to One on One. Today my guest is Ewan McLaren, a Canadian who has lived in the Czech Republic for an amazing amount of time now, since 1990. For 16 years, Ewan, who is trained in the theatre, has worked as an actor, director, and finally, producer. He's been connected to such companies as Prague's Studio Ypsilon and the cutting-edge Alfred Vedvode. That's the Alfred in the courtyard. In the interview, Ewan discusses not only his approach to stage performance in the Czech Republic, but also his overall fascination with Czech culture. Ewan McLaren, One on One.
Well, I actually came to what was then Czechoslovakia. At the time, I had very strong impressions about the cultural scene here, and that's possibly what attracted me more than anything else. Of course, in Canada, we mostly had access to things that dissidents had written and things that were like from the 1930s. So I was fascinated with Čapek and Havel and Kundera, and these authors kind of fed my imagination about this culture and this country as it was then. And this paved the way for me to come here after the changes had happened here, with me finishing theater school at exactly the same time.
And what part of Canada, in fact, are you from?
I grew up in the West, in Calgary, but my theater school was in Toronto. And I guess I thought I was going to stay in Toronto, but after those 4 years of study, I realized the world was much bigger than just that, and that there were so many things happening in this part of the world that it would be a mistake not to come here.
Did you get involved in theater from the get-go?
After couple of years where I was, my bread and butter was teaching English, I got quickly involved with a theater called the Studio Ypsilon Theater, which is a very popular kind of comic and music-oriented theater. And they actually asked me to perform in a play. At that point, I decided that I was going to stay for much longer than just a couple of years, and that I was going to focus on directing, because I was acting on stage in this performance, and part of the charm of the performance was my bad Czech at the time. The Czechs were playing Americans, and I was playing a Czech immigrant to the U.S., so everything was turned upside down. I decided that by focusing on directing, something that always interested me, I was going to have a chance to leap the language barrier. A year later, I was directing my own productions in Czech.
Who were some of the authors, for example?
George F. Walker from Canada, Christopher Hampton from the UK, who wrote this play about Verlaine and Rimbaud, the damned poets, and Sam Shepard from the US.
At what point did you become associated with the theatre Alfred Vedvode?
After an intense period where I was directing a lot of plays for a lot of different Czech theatres, I kind of bumped up against some limitations, and I realized that there was much more I wanted to do in the theater. The Czech drama theaters, which have their own permanent companies of actors, are great in that they're still very popular. Audiences still come. There's a nice connection between the audience and the performers on stage, and yet they don't really cross borders in a lot of ways. And I mean, the borders of the Czech Republic, and also the borders of the arts and things that you can do in the arts. And I realized that there was so much more I wanted to be involved in. And I was meeting other artists who were frustrated about the situation here and wanted to do so much more. This was about 7 years ago. And I decided that what had to happen is that some people had to focus on producing and working with independent artists that have independent ideas and want to do independent things. And so I decided I had to be one of those people who was going to focus on producing. And I went back to Canada for a while and worked with some really, really cool companies and really cool festivals, and got a good taste for what independent artists can do if they have the right infrastructure and the right freedom. Then came back to the Czech Republic and started working with this theater, the Alfred Vedvode. That means the Alfred in the Courtyard Theater, and it's a theater that we have insisted on keeping as an open theater where artists can come with ideas and try something. What are some projects that, say, were presented to you and you thought for the first time, wow, I've never really heard of anything quite like that?
Well, we were approached by one director who said, I want to take a group of actors into people's homes, and I want to make that home an archaeological dig, and I want to create a performance based on what we find in that home. And I want the audience to sit in the home and enjoy this performance. Will you help us do this? And we said, okay. Whose homes? And he said, well, it has to be someone who's brave enough to invite not only his friends, but also total strangers into his house to see a performance that could be about things that are actually quite intimate to him or her. And we found several different people willing to take this risk. And this group of four performers and this director have been now into five homes and presented performances where audiences were on platforms looking through the windows, or audiences were sitting on the floor in the living room.
Mm-hmm. And other performances?
One of the companies I worked with who I think are the best, they're called Handa Gotte, which is the Japanese word for soldering gun. All the guys in the company are Czech, and they work with this idea that Czech people, especially under the communist regime, in order to get things done in their house, they had to learn to do these things themselves. So they learned how to use a soldering gun, they learned how to fix this radio, and they learned how to fix that broken piece in the wall or this electronic problem. And these guys take this idea of do-it-yourself and apply it to performances where you have all kinds of odds and ends and bits and bobs of technology on the stage and directly interfaced with performers on stage. So there's this great dancer, Veronika Schwabova, on stage in a performance called Noise, where she's surrounded by electronic and technological equipment that actually registers her movements. So when she dances this way or that way, her movements turn lights off and on. They make sounds. They even turn on a soldering gun or turn on a heating element. And yet, it's funny. She's like an F-14 pilot who's just learning to control all the things around her. And yet, it's not anything sophisticated. It's all this technology that we know and are familiar with from our own homes. In a bizarre way, it's kind of calming and pleasant.
The demands on your time and resources and energy must be very different now than they were before. How's it changed your life, being on the stage, moving to direction, and then ending up in production?
Right now is a really exciting time in Prague and in the Czech Republic for the arts, for the performing arts, but for the arts in general. It feels like much more than just a cultural job. It feels like we're part of an evolution, part of changes that still need a lot of effort.
Prague is pretty much home, isn't it?
Prague is home. I have a family here. We have a small 5-year-old boy, thoroughly bilingual. You know, we do consider ways that we'd be able to go back to Canada at some point in the future so that he can have grandparents and family there. But our base is going to be the Czech Republic. Prague is our city.
Actor and director Ewan McLaren ending this week's One on One, which was with Jan Wellinger. And we're just about out of time on Radio Prague for today, but I should explain there are some very important broadcasting changes and frequency changes, and if you want to look into the details of that, they're coming into effect tomorrow, what with the change into summertime, of course, that we're having all over Europe. So please do check the website, which is www.radio.cz/English. All the information is on there, and we'll recap you about that during our broadcasts over the coming week. Okay, from me, Peter Smith, until next time from Prague. Bye-bye.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.
Pro posluchače v Evropě vysílá Rádio Praha od 9 hodin 30 minut na frekvenci 11 600 kHz, dále od 12 hodin na frekvenci 11 640 kHz, od 13 hodin 30 minut na frekvencích 6055 a 7345 kHz, od 16.30 na frekvenci 5930 kHz, od 18.30, 20.30 a 22 hodin na frekvencích 5930 kHz a 9435 kHz.
Posluchači v Africe si mohou české vysílání Rádia Praha naladit na frekvenci 21 745 kHz v 9.30 a v 10.30. Od 16.30 vysíláme na frekvenci 15 710 kHz.
Posluchači v Severní Americe uslyší Rádio Praha od 0.30 minut na frekvenci 7345 kHz, od 2 hodin 30 na frekvenci 6200 a od 3 hodin 30 minut na frekvencích 6200 a 7345 kHz. Pro Severní Ameriku také vysíláme od 14.30 na frekvenci 21 745 kHz.
Pro posluchače v Jižní Americe vysíláme od 22 hodin na frekvencích 5930 a 9435 kHz, od 0.30 minut a 2 hodin 30 minut potom na frekvencích 5930 a 7345 kHz.
V Asii nás zachytíte od 10.30 a od 12 hodin na frekvenci 21 745 kHz.